Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The Atlanta Fed GDP Now estimate for Q1 is -2.1%, and that is because the economic data has become absolutely ugly. And yet, inflation is proving to be very stubbornly high. For example, the Empire State Manufacturing Survey plunged 26 points to minus 20 versus the estimate of just -1.9. However, the prices paid component rose 5 points to the highest level in 2 years. U.S. February retail sales were up just 0.2% versus the estimate of an increase of 0.6%. The University of Michigan's Consumer Confidence Survey for March plunged to 57.9 versus the estimate of 63 and 65.7 in the month prior. And yet, inflation expectations in the same survey hit a 32-year high of 4.9% versus 4.3%. Stagflation is the word that comes to mind when defining this data. Pinto Portfolio Strategies had raised cash and took on a more defensive portfolio position in late December of last year. The rationale was we had a very overvalued market in the context of economic growth that was soon to stall. That strategy proved to be correct. However, we recently sold our anti-beta holding and are now incrementally less bearish going into the end of the quarter. And here is why. First of all, the market was deeply oversold, and therefore there is now an increased impetus to do even more buying when it comes to the typical end of quarter tape painting. That's where big Wall Street banks aggressively purchase stocks to make the quarterly statements look better. Another reason to temporarily get less bearish came from the shenanigans in Washington. Senator Chuck Schumer made a reversal from vowing to shut the government down last Thursday to promising to keep it open on Friday. Took him 1 day. I'm going to shut down the government. Next day, we're going to keep it open. Thus paving the way for D.C. to pass a continuing resolution to keep government spending at the current level through the end of September of 2025. I mean, so much for the Doge's efforts to cut spending. In fact, as a side note, the deficit during the month of February came in at $307 billion, exceeding revenue collections of $296 billion. That means the deficit is now more than 200% of revenue. There's an unusual amount of talk about fiscal prudence when it comes down to cutting spending this year. However, when it comes to actually doing so, actually cutting spending, nobody in power seems to have the courage to do what it takes to avert the coming debt crisis. And finally, also on Thursday evening, a federal judge in Maryland ordered the Trump administration to temporarily reinstate thousands of federal employees that had been, terminated in recent weeks. After finding 18 federal agencies acted unlawfully in carrying out the mass firings. All this adds up to a great excuse for a short covering rally into April. Nevertheless, the economy is slowing rapidly now due to the raising of tariffs, which increase taxes and create economic friction, a reduced labor force, even if there are obstacles to government firings, they are no longer in the business of hiring, and the borders are now pretty much closed. We also have zero growth in public sector spending. Stagnant spending growth. Stock market liquidity is drying up. The money in the Treasury General Account and the reverse repo facility have nearly evaporated. The real Fed funds rate is in positive territory and has been so for the past 2 years. The Fed continues to reduce its balance sheet, which is also known as quantitative tightening. It has so far destroyed over $2.2 trillion of that high-powered money. Bank lending standards have begun tightening again. And finally, there is the reverse wealth effect from home and stock prices that have topped out and are now rolling over. The Fed met today, and the conclusion for their March meeting was to keep rates at 4.25% to 4.5%. But there were some changes. There were big cuts in the GDP forecast to just 1.7%, down from 2.1% in the previous meeting, with a slight increase in the unemployment rate up 1/10 to 4.4%. Yet, inflation also got upgraded to 2.8%, annual pace up 0.3 percentage points from the previous estimate. Powell also stated he will slow the pace of QT to just $5 billion per month of treasuries from the previous $25 billion, but will maintain its goal of shedding $35 billion per month of mortgage-backed securities starting April 1st. Now, to prove what a joke the Federal Reserve is, if you needed any more evidence here, I'll be glad to give it to you. Powell said in his press conference that the FOMC, Federal Open Market Committee, predicts inflation will return to the 2% level, sometime in 2027. That came out of his mouth. So here's a question for Mr. Powell. Why is the Fed in a rate-cutting cycle when, by your own guess, consumer price inflation will remain above the target for 6 years? I mean, I think that's hysterical. What a joke. Here's a guy in the middle of a rate cutting cycle. He said there's going to be two more cuts this year, be a few more cuts in 2026. But eventually we're going to get to our 2% target. 2% target will be a 6 years to the north. What a joke. I am mystified about the mainstream financial media's obsession with the so-called Fed put. The belief is that the Fed will quickly cut rates to avert both a recession and a bear market. That's what you hear all the time. Well, the Fed's got your back. However, this has proven to be false, historically speaking. So here's the truth about the Fed put. Our central bank's ability to proactively prevent a recession and bail out the stock market in a timely manner before significant damage is done is significantly hampered by inflation and by debt. The Fed has been historically very late to cut rates because inflation is a lagging economic indicator, whereas the market is a forward-looking indicator. The Fed is focused on CPI prints that are reported with a month lag and are the result of monetary impulses that are even further behind. Just like has been the case in other boom-bust cycles, the Fed has missed its 2% inflation target to the north for the past 4 years. However, it continues to fight ghosts, shadows, and echoes of the past while missing the disinflation and deflation that is concomitant with a recession and the end of a superfluous liquidity cycle. So how effective has the Fed put been in the past? The Fed started cutting rates in December of 2000 to avert an incipient market meltdown and recession. It dropped the overnight lending rate from 6.5% to 1% by November 2002. But that didn't stop the S&P 500 from dropping 50% by March of 2003. Likewise, the Fed began cutting rates in September 2007. It cut the Fed funds rate from 5.25% to 0% by 2008. However, that didn't stop the S&P from shedding 57% of its value either. By the way, investors should take little solace in the fact that the market bounced back in the ensuing 6 years. Not only is losing half of your money and waiting six years to break even very painful, but it may take a lot longer this time around. This is because the bubbles are much bigger and exist concurrently. Housing and equities are in record bubbles. However, there is a credit bubble as well. The U.S. has $2 trillion deficits and our $37 trillion national debt is 123% of GDP. Therefore, the bond market might break during the next recession when the deficit surges towards $6 trillion. Meaning yields could spike much higher on the long end of the yield curve, thus countervailing the efforts of the Fed to reinflate GDP and asset prices by bringing down the Fed funds rate. We are fully prepared to take a precautionary stance and even become net short in the portfolio, especially if the IDEC, inflation, deflation, economic cycle model components turn south around the April 2nd reciprocal tariff headlines. Stay tuned. This is a year of chaos, and we plan on being ahead of the curve.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.